We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Verse 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sarvishamana Sharanam. Prabhama Prithivim Prabhu. Nanurupam Yadavinda. Abhut Savimana Iva. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. King Paranjan began to search for a suitable place to live, and thus he traveled all over the world. Even after a great deal of traveling, he could not find a place just to his liking. Finally, he became morose and disappointed. Purport. The travelings of Paranjan are similar to the travelings of the modern hippies. Generally, hippies are sons of great fathers and great families. It is not they are always poor, but some way or another they abandon the shelter of their rich fathers and travel all over the world. As stated in this verse, the living entity wants to become a Prabhu, or master. The word Prabhu means master, but actually the living entity is not a master. He is eternal servant of God. When the living entity abandons the shelter of God, Krishna, and tries to become a Prabhu independently, he travels all over the creation. There are 8,400,000 species of life, and millions and trillions of planets within the creation. The living entity wanders throughout these various types of bodies and throughout different planets, and thus he is like King Paranjan, who traveled all over the world looking for a suitable place to live. Srinarottam Das Thakur has sung, Karmakanda Gyanakanda Kevala Visharabhanda. The path of Karmakanda, fruit of activities, and the path of Gyanakanda, speculation, are just like strong pots of poison. Amita Bolya Jeva Kai Nana Yoni Sadafire. A person who mistakes this poison to be nectar and drinks it travels in different species of life. Kadarja Bhakana Kore. And according to his body, he eats all types of abominable things. For instance, when the living entity is in the body of a hog, he eats stool. When the living entity is in the body of a crow, he eats all kinds of refuse, even pus and mucus, and enjoys it. Thus, Narottam Das Thakur points out the living entity travels in different types of bodies and eats all kinds of abominable things. When he does not become ultimately happy, he becomes morose or takes to the ways of hippies. Thus in this verse it is said, na anurupam, that the king could never find a place suitable for his purposes. This is because in any form of life and on any planet in the material world, the living entity cannot be happy, because everything in the material world is unsuitable for the spirit soul. As stated in this verse, the living entity independently wants to become a Prabhu, but as soon as he gives up this idea and becomes a servant of God, Krishna, his happiness immediately begins. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Miche mayor vashe jacha peshe kacho habudubhupai. My dear living entity, why are you being carried away by the waves of Maya? As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Ishara sarbhutanam hridesha janatishtati pamayan sarbhutani antrarutani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. Living entity is carried in the machine of the body through so many species of life on so many planets. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks the living entity why he is being carried away in these bodily machines to be placed in so many different circumstances. He advises that one surmount the waves of Maya by surrendering unto Krishna. Jeev Krishna Das Evishvas Karlito Ardu Konai. As soon as we confront Krishna, Krishna advises, Sarvadharmam Pritaja Mamikam Shanam Vajahang Tvang Sarvapape Pyo Moksha Yishami Ma Shishaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus, we are immediately relieved from traveling from one body to another and from one planet to another. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Bhamite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev. If, while traveling, a living entity becomes fortunate enough to become blessed by the association of devotees and to come to Krishna consciousness, his real life actually begins. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving all wandering living entities a chance to take to the shelter of Krishna and thus become happy. In this verse, the words Vimana Iva are very significant. In this material world, even the great king of heaven is also full of anxiety. If even Lord Brahma is full of anxiety, what of these ordinary living entities who are working within this planet? Bhagavad Gita 8:16 confirms, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Purnara Vatinorjana. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. In the material world, the living entity is never satisfied. Even in the position of Brahma or in the position of Indra or Chandra, one is full of anxiety simply because he has accepted this material world as a place of happiness. So, are you all convinced now that this place is not a place of happiness? That we should go back to Godhead? Srila Prabhupada has given so many verses to try to convince us that we should not stay here, and nor should we wander in search of happiness. So, the story of Paranjan is a story of our life. We were all wandering, searching for happiness, searching for shelter, searching for some meaning in life, but we could not find it. There is no shelter in this world. So Prabhupada said, no, put it back that way. So Srila Prabhupada said in the purport that when we get frustrated, we become hippies. So we were all, a lot of us were frustrated hippies before we became devotees, myself included. But then when I saw the hippie movement, I also saw that they're also doing the same things. They're rejecting, they say they're rejecting materialistic society, but actually they're trying to enjoy in the same way. They want to be revolutionaries, but actually they just want the same thing as the other people want. And there was no different. So we were wandering, everyone's wandering. But an intelligent person will search for that thing which he has not yet found after wandering from the highest planet to the lowest, in the body of a dog, in the body of a hog, in the body of a human being. He will search for Krishna. We have not yet gotten that, even by searching through all the species and through all the planets. There is a verse in Bhagavatam, Narada Muni was instructing Vyasadeva, Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido na labhyate yad brahmatam upayadatta labhyate dukavarandata sukham kalena savatta gabira rangasa. Persons who are actually intelligent will not search for those things which you cannot get in this world. You cannot get happiness. You cannot get shelter. Happiness will come automatically just like distress comes. You don't have to search for it. Nobody searches for distress, but it comes. So happiness will also come. So we were wandering, and Prabhupada says when you meet a pure devotee, your wandering stops. So we met Srila Prabhupada, and our wandering stopped, our distress stopped. But for a few years, now we're wandering again, but it's for Krishna, so it's a different kind of wandering. We're not wandering in search of happiness, but we're wandering as a preacher to try to spread the happiness of Krishna consciousness. So when I was wandering last year, I was getting a bit disoriented, and I was thinking, where is home? Where is my home? Because it's not here. It's even Vrindavan. I'm only here 3 months this year. So I was thinking, where is my home? I'm like a guest everywhere I go. Even here, I'm a guest at home. Then I thought, well, my body, I mean, that stays with me. That maybe that's my home. Then I thought, well, better I ask the Shastra. So I opened up the Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam said, answered my question. Bhagavatam said, home is at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. It's the only safe shelter. And that's where all the demigods, they are meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. So King Pachanabhishat has now become fortunate. He has met Narada Muni. And he has met a pure devotee. And Narada Muni is trying to convince him of the futility of following the path of Karmakanda. Narottam Das Thakur, in this purport, Prabhupada quotes him, the path of Karmakanda and Gyanakanda are like strong pots of poison. Now in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna says that if someone worships me, at the same time wants to drink poison, I don't give it to him. I give him instead the nectar of my lotus feet, and he forgets about the poison. And so that is our Krishna conscious life, that we're looking for some poison in this world. We think it will make us happy. But instead, Krishna is going to give us nectar. And so Narada Muni is advising King Pachanabhishat not to drink the poison of Karmakanda. People in the gross conception of life, they are thinking, my body should be happy. If my body's happy, I'm happy. Now, if you're a little bit more advanced on the mental level, then you think, well, if my mind is happy, I'm happy. And the yogis, they're thinking, oh, if I get some mystic powers, I can control over this material world, I'm happy. And the devotees, what do they think? If Krishna's happy, I'm happy. So they're not in anxiety for anything of this world. That's the difference between the karmis, the gyanis, and devotees. The karmis, they try to satisfy their senses and on the sense gratification. The gyanis, they try to satisfy their mental, subtle activities. The yogis try to achieve different mystic perfections. Only devotees, they try to satisfy Krishna. And our process is so much nicer. He said, these are pots of poison, kevala, vishara bandha, but bhakti is kevala anandakanda. It's the path of bliss. So we're on the path of bliss, so that's wonderful. Devotees, the gyanis, they're all alone. They have to struggle. The yogis have to struggle, control their senses, think of nothing, and try to merge. But the devotees are not alone. We're begging for mercy. The gyanis and yogis think, no, I can do it myself. But the devotees, they never think, I can do it myself. Krishna's mercy. And the result of bhakti is so wonderful. When I first became a devotee, one of the reasons I became a devotee was because they told me, if you join, you will see God face to face. I said, yes, I want to see God face to face. And I thought it was just around the corner, you know, maybe 3 years, four, maybe at least 5 years. And now it's been 40 years, over 40 years. But I am seeing every day, of course. We see Krishna every day here. And he reciprocates with us. But Prabhupada did say in a lecture that we can see him sitting and we talk to him like a friend. So when we get purified, we're promised that level. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. If you just worship me with love, with priti, then I will give you intelligence in the heart what to do, Bhagavad Gita says. So Prabhupada said in one purport of third canto that the gyanis, yogis, and karmis cannot expect this direct cooperation of the Lord. They can't satisfy the Lord by loving service, and they don't even believe in such service. But just by following Vaidhi Bhakti, we can come to the level of love of God. So Narada, he's trying to bring King Pachanabhishat to the level of self-realization. Now, it's very interesting to try to understand Narada's approach. Narada Muni had many, many disciples, and he used different preaching approaches to each one of them. So just like according to time, place, and circumstance, when Dhruva Maharaj came to surrender, to find Krishna, to find the Lord in the jungle, then Dhruva, how did he approach? How did Narada Muni approach Dhruva Maharaj? He used reverse psychology. Because with children, you tell them one thing and they'll do the opposite. And so he said, go back, you're just a little boy. You can't do these austerities. When you just grow up, come back, and then we'll talk. So Dhruva got even more determined and he said, you go home, I'll stay here in the forest. So he used reverse psychology for Dhruva. And Vyasadeva was depressed after writing Vedanta Sutra and the Vedas and so many things. So how did Narada preach to him? He said, "You have forgotten Krishna." He said he was very direct in his approach to Vyasadeva. He said, "You're very intelligent. You have so many good qualifications. You can meditate on Krishna, so why not spread them for the benefit of humanity?" So being inspired, he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni was a spiritual master of great kings like Yudhisthira. We hear in the seventh canto, whole seventh canto, the story of Nrisimhadev. He was spiritual master of Vasudev, also actually was Vasudev, who was in the seventh canto, and Mrigari the hunter, the highest and the lowest. So with Mrigari, what was his preaching approach? He didn't immediately say, "Oh, you should surrender to Krishna." He just said, "Please don't half-kill the animals. Kill them completely." That was his first instruction. So different preaching technique for Mrigari the hunter. You just kill those animals completely. And Mrigari was shocked. He said, "But that, I mean, my father taught me like this, you know, why should I just kill them completely?" And then Narada Muni showed the animals in the sky, just like Prachina Barhishat. "These animals are waiting for you." So that was Narada's first instruction, but then later when the hunter surrendered, Narada said, "Okay, break your bow, worship Tulsi, chant Hare Krishna." And the hunter did it, but he was a little bit doubtful. He said, "But how will I eat?" So Narada said, "Don't worry, I will send food for you." And he got so much food that he had to give it away in charity. So then, now with King Prachina Barhishat, he was too attached to animal sacrifices, so Narada is showing all the animals in the sky. "Just see what's going to happen. What is the result of your sacrifice? They're just waiting to kill you and avenge the injuries you have inflicted on them." And now he showed him the vision, and now he's telling him an allegorical story of his own life. So later on, Narada Muni will preach to King Prachinabarhi's sons, the Prachetas. And he will use a direct approach. He will say, "Shayasam api sarvesham atma yavadiratata sarvesham api bhutanam harirat mat madapriya." Factually, Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of all self-realization. Consequently, the goal of all auspicious activities, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jai Gaunitai, Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Radhesham. This is our goal. The goal of everything. Now he has come kindly before us so we can see him and glorify him. Now in the sixth canto, Narada Muni, he will see the 10,000 sons of Daksha performing austerities to become very nice grihastas to increase the population. And Narada said, "Oh my God, they're so purified, they would make perfect sannyasis." So he went and he preached to them. He said, "Why you should get entangled?" He gave them an analogy. "Better you find super soul in the core of your hearts." And so they all left home. And he said, "Don't follow the instructions of Daksha. You should follow your real father, the Shastras." So they all left home. Then Daksha, he had 1,000 more sons, Shavalasvas. And they came to perform austerities. They were chanting, "Om Namo Narayanaya Purushaya Mahatmane Vishuddhisatta Dishnyaya Mahangsaya Dhimahi." "Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated in his transcendental abode. Since he is the Supreme Person, Paramahansa, let us offer our respectful obeisances to him." So how did Narada preach to them? Did he tell them any philosophy? No, he just said, "Follow your brothers. You love your older brothers, you should just do like them, follow their example. You also take sannyas." So they did. So different preaching techniques for different persons. And this time, Daksha cursed Narada Muni will not be able to stay in one place for 3 days. So Prabhupada said, "I have also been cursed by the parents of my disciples not to stay. I have so many beautiful places to stay, but I cannot stay anywhere." When a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, "Where do you live?" Srila Prabhupada answered, "I live in a 747 jet airplane. That is where I live." And it was true that he, for 10 years, I guess, he traveled all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada was like Narada Muni. He used many preaching techniques when he was here. He was engaging everyone, men, women, children. In one of his first lectures on the holy name, he said, "Even a child can take part in this chanting, and even a dog can take part in it." So in one class, Prabhupada noticed a 6-month-old baby who was clapping in his father's lap. And he said, "Just see, this baby is also joining because it's automatic." And then Prabhupada said an amazing thing. He said, "A dog will dance, a cat will dance, a child will dance." So when I went to Toronto, Canada, I saw an advertisement, yoga for dogs, yoga for cats. And they had these dogs and cats in yoga postures. And I thought, what is this world coming to? But Prabhupada, he also said, yes, they can dance in kirtan. So this is the real yoga for dogs and cats, bhakti yoga. Prabhupada said, they can also dance. And I saw when I went to Russia, Odessa, Ukraine, many, many years ago, we had a dog that was coming in Mangal Arati and offering obeisances and all of the shoes and then following us on the Harinam. All the other dogs were doing their thing, but this dog was with us. And so Prabhupada said, on the spiritual platform, everyone can understand. It's Krishna. And one of Prabhupada's preaching techniques was he actually used women to preach. Mula Prakriti was one of the big book distributors. And she, when Prabhupada had darshan with her, she said that actually it's Lord Chaitanya's trick. Just like in about 50 years ago in India, they wanted to sell one hair oil, Brahmi hair oil. And Prabhupada said they sent young, respectable women door to door and everyone bought this hair oil, although it had no medicinal properties. So he said, Lord Chaitanya has sent many young women to preach, to attract the living entities to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, what was his preaching technique also? His love and concern for us. When we first came to India in 1972 in Bombay, there was no facility. I think I've described it before. The men were in an indescribable hut, which was everything rolled in one, the prasadam room, men's ashram, kitchen, and everything, and very, very austere. And the women were on the roof of a building. We didn't have a roof over our head, and it was summer. Anyway, that was the old days in Bombay, 1972. Even the deities, they didn't have a roof. They just had like a little tent over their head. The deities were with us in our austerities. So that some devotees complained to Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, this is just too austere. You know, how can we live like this? And Prabhupada said, don't you want to be purified? So then we had to take up that challenge. Yes, we want to be purified. Prabhupada was always challenging us. And Dr. Patel was one Indian doctor who used to walk on Juhu Beach with Srila Prabhupada. And one time he gave a donation of some mattresses for the devotees to sleep on, and sheets and mosquito nets. But within 2 years, somehow they all disappeared. And he complained to Prabhupada, these devotees, they don't care how they live. It's dirty. They're sick. There's mosquitoes. And Prabhupada said to him, because Dr. Patel was into liberation. So Prabhupada said, that liberation you so much desire, they already have it. So that was Prabhupada's blessings. The devotees, we were in Calcutta. Same thing. We were on the floor on a mat for 18 years. We didn't have a bed. And it was quite nice. But there were big rats and there were cockroaches and so many things we had. And then there were a lot of things we didn't have, and that was like milk and ghee. Ghee, you couldn't get ghee, you couldn't get milk, cow's milk. It was all polluted, contaminated. So one time Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Calcutta, and he said to us, thank you very much for preaching here in Calcutta. I cannot stay here, because his wife was there, and he took sannyas. He says, thank you for doing it for me. And he said, I know you can't even get milk to drink. He said, so you don't have to do Chaturmasya. You're already do. We don't have milk the whole year, what to speak of 1 month, you know. He said, you don't have to do it. And so Prabhupada was very merciful to us. He had other techniques also. Shuddha Kirti talks about another technique of Prabhupada, that he tricked us on a morning walk in Perth, Australia. Prabhupada asked the question, is a devotee simple or crooked? Devotee said, he's simple, Shuddha Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, are you sure? Is he simple or crooked? Yes, the devotee is simple, devotee said enthusiastically. Prabhupada said, actually, devotee is crooked. And everybody had their mouths open. Take me, for example, Prabhupada said. I came to your country and everyone was eating meat, taking intoxication, doing so much nonsense. I tricked everyone. I've tricked all of you into becoming Krishna conscious. So, in that sense, the devotee must be crooked because he must be able to trick, just like I've tricked everyone. No one wanted Krishna consciousness, but I have tricked you. Yeah, so we often think back and we think, well, how did we ever join? How did we ever, you know, what was it that made me leave everything and leave my husband? And some of us left kids, some of us left our husband, some of us left our degree. One devotee, he was his final exam to become a doctor and he left it and joined. And so it was like when Krishna plays his flute and everybody runs. So Prabhupada called us and we just ran. And we didn't think why. I know why I was coming to the temple for 5 months. And then one weekend, Prabhupada said he was going to come. But he didn't come. And so I stayed for the weekend and he sent 4 sannyasis instead. One of them was Vishnu Jan Maharaj. So he was leading the Harinam and we were on Harinam day and night. And after a weekend of Harinam with Vishnu Jan Maharaj, I decided, why should I go back home? I'm happy here. And I went and said goodbye to my husband and joined. So my husband also joined 2 months later. But anyway, it was like that we just felt so attracted to Krishna consciousness, to Harinam. Siena tena prakarena, somehow or other remember Krishna. And in the very beginning, Prabhupada did not give all the rules and regulations. The first initiation in 1966, no one was asked to shave his head, cut his hair, change his dress. No one offered Prabhupada Guru Dakshina. And even no one helped him when he was cooking, he was cleaning. And he didn't try to force anything on anyone. And some of them didn't even know after initiation, I have to follow these 4 rules. So after initiation, Prabhupada, some of them asked Prabhupada, do we have to, now we're initiated, do we have to follow these 4 rules? And Prabhupada said, I'm very glad you are finally asking me that. Because they didn't know. Up until the last day, they were still having intoxication and whatever. And so Prabhupada, his technique, he challenged us to do the impossible. He said impossible is a word in Fu's dictionary. He said it's a revolution. In Bhagavatam, Tadvagvi Sargo, Janatagavi Plavo, it's a revolution. We're making a revolution in the hearts of all the misdirected civilization of this world. And that's Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam will make the revolution. So, one last thing. In 1966, he was preaching to the hippies. A few hippies were there. And he told them, you must all become guru. Lord Chaitanya says, nobody is responsible for his birth. His responsibility is to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we heard yesterday, we have a responsibility. And Prabhupada said it's to advance. If we want to enter the kingdom of God or be Krishna conscious, Prabhupada said, there is no impediment. It doesn't depend on any material condition. It's open for everyone. Guna karma vibhagashaha, Bhagavad Gita says. The chance is given. You can become a Brahmin. You can become a great devotee of Lord Krishna. And you can become spiritual master of the whole world. So here are this group of hippies thinking, you know, what movement? What is this? We didn't even know we're in a movement. And now he wants us to be spiritual masters. So it was quite shocking, Prabhupada's vision for us. So Prabhupada's example, his preaching technique was he worked harder, he slept less, he did more austerity, he traveled more. And we couldn't keep up with him, even on the morning walks. I would look, And I would try to figure out with my intelligence, how does he walk so fast? I'm in my 20s. He's in his 70s, but it wasn't logical. You can't understand Prabhupada with your intelligence, although I tried really hard. It's only with bhakti. So we're so fortunate. We have the easiest path given by our most merciful Srila Prabhupada. First day I visited the temple, I asked, what's your process? They said, chant, dance, and eat. Eat prasad. So I tried it, and I'm still trying it. So as Narada Muni preached to King Pachinabahi, Prabhupada preached to us, attracted us, tricked us. So we're grateful to be his servant, and we're praying to him, help us understand the story of Paranjan, which is also the story of our own life. Hare Krishna. Our glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or comments? In the back, yes, behind you. I forgot your name, sorry. Apurva. Names I can't remember. Shlokas, yes.
Thank you for a wonderful class. And my first question was, you mentioned that Narada Muni was the spiritual master of Vasudev. Is that the...
He preached to him in the 10th, I believe, in the Rajasiya sacrifice. In the Rajasiya sacrifice, and Vasudev was asking questions, and so Narada Muni was speaking to him, as far as I can remember. It may have been the 7th canto. I can't remember if it's... I think it's Vasudev, Narada Muni and Vasudev in the 7th canto. I can't... Yeah. Okay, and yes? Oh, another question?
Yeah. So, what temple did you join at? You spoke.
I joined in Boston in 1970. It was temple president was Satsvarup Prabhu, temple commander was Sri Dhananda Prabhu, and Sankirtan leader was Giriraj Brahmachari. And interior decorator was Bhavananda. And head of the press was Jaya Doita. I was in the press also typing. And all the artists were there, Jadarani Bardaraj, all the artists. And Pradyumna, the Sanskrit scholar, was there. And you couldn't help but join, you know. It was overwhelming, the association in that temple. And there were classes day and night, and there was Harinam. We were on Harinam 10 hours a day. And plus I had to do 4 hours of composing, typesetting, because Prabhupada wanted the typesetting to go 24 hours a day. So we were typesetting Macmillan Bhagavad Gita as it is.
And my last question is, the dog that was on Harinam, was he also dancing?
I don't remember if he was dancing.
Do you know what happened?
I don't know, because we were just there for a week in this Odessa festival in Ukraine. There were 600 devotees. It was the first festival. Now I heard there's 8,000 devotees in Ukraine. That was the first festival. And we just went to some camp, and there were dogs living there, and one of them was like a devotee. I don't know what happened to him. Okay, question?
You have brought in examples of indirect preaching.
Indirect, yeah.
And I'm just wondering, in the time of Prabhupada, since like Prabhupada himself was quite straightforward in his preaching, were there any instances when he used this indirect preaching? Because now it is quite a big phenomenon. Is it, just try to understand, is it a step forward or a step back when we trying to...
Okay, the question is about indirect preaching. Well, when Prabhupada does it, then it's good. When we try to imitate, it may not be good. If we try to imitate indirect preaching, that Prabhupada did. We have to be very, very careful. Now, not to mix it, not to compromise. But one way to understand that is that one of the offenses to the holy name is not to instruct the faithless in the glories of the holy name. So one way to preach indirectly, which we did while Prabhupada was here, was to give everybody prasadam. And it was tricking them because they didn't know that they were eating prasadam, which is very powerful. And it can change you. So this is, we still do that, and we did that when Prabhupada was here. Now, as far as speaking goes, and you have to be very, very careful. And it's very difficult for a devotee who has known what Prabhupada does to preach indirectly. For us, it's very difficult to do that, because we were taught to preach directly. But also, there is a level of devotional service, unsteady devotional service, the first level, where you're over-enthusiastic. And so that kind of preaching is not good. Just like you go home, when you become a devotee, you go home and you tell your parents, you're not my mother, you're not my father. I've had so many mothers and fathers. How do I know you're my mother? And so that's direct preaching, but it's not really appropriate. You may go to some old person on the road and on the street to distribute a book and said, your teeth are falling out, your hair is gray, you know, and so many, your liver is dysfunctional. But they won't appreciate that kind of preaching. And so we try to attract them to Krishna somehow or other. If they will take prasadam, if they will take a book, if they will chant the holy name once, or just Hare Krishna, then that's nice. Yeah, and before you do anything like that, consult your guru. Any indirect preaching? Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.